Well, a good morning to you, and I want to welcome you to Wheat Among the Tares, our live program here from the studios of Gethsemane Global Radio and Gethsemane Baptist Church here in Lexington, South Carolina. I want to thank you for joining us here this morning. I'm looking at a number of countries around the world that are listening this morning, and again, I want to thank you for joining us here. Before we go to our special guest, and we do have a special guest in studio with us this morning, I want us to take just a moment to remember those in this unfortunate shooting in Nashville, Tennessee over the last couple of days and what's been in the news concerning that in such a shameless and senseless situation that arose. And we do want to remember those in prayer, that God would help those families, just those that lost their children especially, and we do want to remember those. And as we go through this program this morning, that as you listen to what is going on here, have on the back of your mind to remember those, and that God would help them with regard to just, again, coping with daily life right now and what is going on with them. With that, I want to welcome our guest into the studio this morning. He is a veteran missionary and has been on the field for 17 years. And he is a man unusual in the sense of how God has dealt with him about going to a country that most of us never even consider. His name is Jeff Kruchko, and he is a missionary to the nation of Mongolia. And Brother Kruchko, I want to welcome you to Wheat Among the Tares this morning, brother.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Well, brother, I'm telling you, it is. When we were talking before we went on the air, just about how how God first of all brought you, as far as touching your heart, to a people who, here in the United States specifically, brother, we just don't think about Oriental countries. We think about China and we think about the Koreas, that type of thing. But Tibet, Mongolia, those nations, they're just not on the radar, right, so to speak. And what I'd like for you to do, first of all, is just tell us a little bit about how God dealt with you, and how he brought you to come to have a burden for those particular people. And then I want to talk a little bit about just the people themselves of Mongolia. So tell us, first of all, how did God deal with you?
Well, we were in the country of the Philippines for several years, and we had a printing ministry there. And we were having issues over there, weather issues, I should say. We had a typhoon to come in and took out our print shop. And so we went back, and we went to the other side of the island. I'm going to set up another print shop over there and get started there. And the Mayung volcano went off and buried that place. And so I thought, okay, a typhoon, a volcano, I'm getting the picture, Lord. Uh-huh. Maybe the Philippines isn't the place for me. And so I began praying, what's next? And then I heard about Mongolia opening up and that there was another missionary considering starting a printing ministry there. So I contacted them and said, look, they already had the equipment, all that stuff. I said, I'll give you 3 weeks. I'll go in, I'll set it up, make sure everything's running, all of those things, and then we can go from there. So I did in 2006. I flew over and began to set this stuff up. Well, the Lord just had bigger plans, and you know, I fell in love with the place. I couldn't leave. So we're still there.
Well, bless the Lord. You know, when I'm just talking about myself here, just as far as if it would have been me in that situation, you would look at it and say, well, it would have been a little bit of intrepidation there, especially if you're not, you know, have any exposure to the country whatsoever. Right. And so, Brother Jeff, God knit your heart with those people there. Tell me about the people of Mongolia. They're very unusual people.
Oh yeah.
Tell us about them.
Well, they're unusual. You know, they're nomadic people, and you don't hear of nomads anymore. And this is the last nomadic country, is what they say. And the people, they follow their herds. Most everything is related around their herds, whether it be sheep or cow or yak, camels, whatever, horses. they follow those herds around, and they'll move four, five, six times a year, depending on where the pastures are. So you never know where they're at any given month. They could be gone. And even the people in the city, with that nomadic nature behind them, they'll move all the time. I the last thing in the world I ever want to do is move, because I don't want to pack my stuff up. I got too much stuff.
Right.
And but they'll move. I mean, we got one place, I can't remember the name. It's a pizza place is what it is. They've moved four times on the same street. just stay in one place. We can find you. So they are nomadic people, but they're nationalistic by nature. They figure anything you can do, the Mongolians can do better. And when I first come to that realization, I thought, well, that's kind of a funny way of thinking. Well, but isn't that the same way we think?
Yes, it is.
It's exactly.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, they're just like us, you know.
They are.
And they eat weird stuff according to us, but we eat weird stuff according to them. So, you know.
Yeah.
You got to look at it from both sides of that coin. And they're just, when you get to know them, they're very loyal to you. It just takes them a while, but once you have somebody on board with you, they're loyal. They are not going to go against you. And I love that about them. I really do.
Tell me about the spiritual aspects of Mongolia as far as their background and what do they worship there?
Well, if you go way back, When Kublai Khan, now that's Genghis Khan's grandson, when he was in the power, and we're talking back in the 1700s now, or I should say 1300s, I'm sorry. One of the things that he did is that he sent letters to Rome. Of course, he called it Christianity. We understand that's Roman Catholic. Mm-hmm. And he sent them to Tibet asking for missionaries. Now, Rome sent two. They got halfway to Mongolia and turned around, went back, said nobody in their right mind is going there. Tibet sent 600. They're 85% Buddhist. You wonder why.
you know?
And so they're Buddhist by nature, and then shamanism is the second one, which is nature worship, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so spiritually, as far as the Lord Jesus Christ, they have no idea who he is. The average Mongolian has no clue who he is. Now, over the last 20 years, there's been enough Christianity come in that they understand the cross is a religious symbol, things like that. They don't understand it. They have no clue. They have 750 plus gods, and so, well, what's one more? You know, and so that's the spiritual aspect that you have to break through is that. And
so, Jeff, the spiritual aspect of things from the gospel, as far as you know, and you've been in that country again for 17 years, has been non-existent there.
Right. Right.
And, and to be quite honest, I didn't go back and I didn't look to see if there were any missionaries that ever went there. In my recollection of reading, and I do a lot of reading as far as church history and missionary history, I've never found one. Mm-mm. And, so, to me, brother, just God touching your heart about going there, and specifically the ministry you were involved in. You're not a pastor.
Right, right.
You went there to take a printing ministry.
Yes.
And to be able to convey via the printed page mm-hmm. to the people of Mongolia. Give us a little bit of history as far as that 17 years and what the Lord has done through that.
Well, when we went over, of course, when I volunteered to go over for the 3-week trip, I didn't even know where Mongolia was on the map. I had to go look that up, and that took me a while to find them. I was in the wrong continent.
Yeah,
you know. And we found them, and I was excited because it's in Asia, and I love Asia and that type of thing. When I got there, it was just. It was almost like a shock, you know, when you land there, and it's not at all what you think of as Asia. It's a desert, and I was excited to be there. I was just excited to be there, and then I realized that Mongolia has, if they're not the highest of the second one in literacy rate, they have 99.5, I think, percent literacy rate. Everybody reads. They read because they didn't have the radio and the TV and all the other things, so they read. And that's still
in there. That's a good point.
And So I thought, well, man, if you're going to print, you want to print for somebody that can read, and they all read. And if you can get it in front of them, they'll read it. And that's just an amazing thing to me, is to watch. You know, I don't think I've ever seen this in America, but you can walk down the street in Mongolia, and there's somebody that is set up like a booth like we would have somebody having a yard sale. Well, they've got books. It's just all books. And the next one, that's just all books. They have a book fair on the Parliament Square every year, and there'll be hundreds of tents set up. It's just books after books after books, whatever you want. And so, I mean, it's in the perfect location for that. And I just love that about it. And when we landed, we didn't have the Word of God. We had a couple of translations that were really, really bad. And even the Mongolians knew they were bad. And so we started printing everything and anything we could get our hands on until that was done. And in 2017, they finished the New Testament. And we were able to print that. And that was the first time the Bible was ever printed in the country of Mongolia, in the history of the world. It was 2017.
And you did it.
Yes. Yes.
What a blessing, brother.
Amen.
And how God stirred your heart to take that, because he knew, number one, they are a people that had not been exposed. I think that's a very unique thing in and of itself. They don't have radio and television, so they read.
Yeah.
And how God moved your heart through the printed page. Now, of course, God gave us a Bible, and praise God that he did, for a people who are so distracted by things today that it's hard to get people to go back to the printed page and look at their Bibles. But yet, brother, in God's kindness and mercy, he sent a man to print the Word of God. Distribution of tracts and other things of that nature. I'll ask you about that first, and then we'll go to kind of how and what God has done to raise up men. Tell us about tracts and other things right now.
Well, the first thing we started doing was what we call tracts. Now, here in America, tract is just a piece of paper folded in half, you know, that kind of thing. In Mongolia, it's much bigger. It's 16, 32 pages, maybe 64 pages, because they have no history of Christianity. They don't understand the creation of the world. They don't understand where man came from. They don't understand the Lord Jesus Christ, and none of that. So you have to start from creation and work your way up to even get their attention. Otherwise, they just have no idea. So our tracts are bigger. They're more like a book. And we've done quite a few of those. And we get those out, and we do that through the churches or even through individuals. And God is really blessed by doing that. We just finished it's a Bible visual. There's 16 full-color pages. They're 8.5 by 11 size. And then the story and all that in it. We did, there's 76 volumes in the set. And we just finished that. And we were able to give one of those to each church in the country, regardless of what religion that church is. We got that because it's got the gospel all the way through it, you know.
Amen.
And we were able to give a set of those away to every church in Mongolia, so.
Quite an outreach in and of itself through that, basically sow the seed of the Word of God in amongst all those.
Yes.
Have you heard back from people concerning those?
Well, those, yeah, we've heard a lot back on those, because they have nothing for the kids. And these are all designed for, like, Sunday school lessons, that, like, we would used to use flannel graph, things like that. It's that similarity. And so they love it, because any Mongolian can pick it up and show the picture and just read the story to them, and show the next picture and read the story, and it goes right through and gets the gospel into them. And you don't have to have any kind of education to do that, just to be able to read. And so it works really well.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad God gave you that avenue in which to expose people to the Word of Truth. Tell me, we were talking before we went on the air. By the way, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Brother Jeff Kruchko, who is a missionary printer to the nation of Mongolia, which in and of itself is an unusual thing. And I'm really thrilled to be able to talk to Brother Jeff this morning about this ministry, because, again, it's of an unusual nature. When we talk about missions, a lot of times we think about preachers and church planters and all that, but this is kind of a unique niche, and I'm very, very thankful for it this morning. Brother Jeff, you went there. Were there any men, anybody expecting you when you got there into the country to first try to establish this print ministry?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the expectations were in others. I know what mine was. I mean, I plan I'm the biggest and the best and produce all I can.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing when you go into any ministry in Mongolia is getting the key people with you, the people that have the heart for the same thing that you have
Amen.
The heart for.
Yes.
Because if you get the wrong person in there, then they'll run it in the ground. You get the right person, they'll take it to heights you never thought of.
Amen.
And especially the people that are Mongolians, because they know... Americans don't really understand how Mongolians think. They think different than we do because it's a different culture. But the Mongolians obviously think that way. They know that. And so it's not a problem to them. And so God's really blessed us with some really, really good guys.
Tell us about those men and who they are.
Well, to be in Mongolia, you have to have a business. You can't just go there as a missionary. They won't let you. That's just a given. And so you have to have a business. Well, we're working. We have a Mongolian business. It's not an American business. I'm not the guy running the business. I'm just a part person in this thing, okay? I just happen to be an American.
Yeah.
And our business is run by the guy that runs, his name is Tukso. I was just on the phone with him about an hour ago, he runs the show. He does everything. He can run every piece of equipment we have. He can repair every piece of equipment we have. He knows what's going on around him. As far as we need a well, we need electricity, we need whatever. He knows where to find these guys. He's very, very versed in all this. And he's a independent Baptist preacher. He's probably got the most thriving Mongolian church in the country. It's an amazing thing to see. And so he's our number one guy. Right behind him is the man that lives on the property. His name is Baisa. Well, Tukso has six kids. Baisa, I think, has seven. And Baisa is the one that oversees the building, makes sure nothing happens. He's also a master woodworker. He's amazing. So he does all of our building, of our furniture, and all that stuff. He does it all.
Amen.
Right there on site. And both of these guys are Bible college graduates. Okay, from the Bible college there in Mongolia. And then the third guy that we have to have on is a bookkeeper, and we got a guy named Gumbotter. I've known Gumbotter since he was a teenager. He now is married, has four kids, and he is a trained accountant, which is very important in Mongolia to have that. He certifies everything, the books and all that, makes sure everything's in order. And he graduates from Bible college next year. He goes to Amazing Grace Baptist Church, and that's one of them that we go to. And he is just a great guy. And all these guys are on board. And then the last one that you really need is a lawyer, because it doesn't matter what you do in Mongolia. You're going to need a lawyer. It's kind of like America. You're going to need a lawyer.
Uh-huh.
And we have a guy. His name is Sambo. Sambo's a single, I want to say, young man. I think he's 44 years old. He's not exactly young
anymore.
Well,
he's still young. Yeah,
compared to us, he is.
And, yeah.
But when we first went to Mongolia, he had just passed his bar exam, was going in to be a lawyer, and then when he found out what we were doing, he changed his mind and asked to be our pressman. And so for the first 5 years we were there, he was my pressman. He was my number two guy. And when he went back into being a lawyer, he said, "I am your lawyer," period. He didn't ask me, he told me.
Yeah.
So having a guy like that is nice. And all these guys are good Christian men. They all go to church. They live the life. They don't just say they are. They live the life. I've watched them. And so it's good to have guys on board, and they are all for the Bible. Boy, are they all for getting that out. And so it's a real blessing.
Well, amen. I mean, obviously God put that team together.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The Lord did that for you in order for that ministry of the printed page and the scriptures to be able to go forth to the nation of Mongolia. I can't help but just, if you're listening and if you've in your heart say glory to God, because you see the hand of the Lord and how he yes. formulated that team, Brother Jeff, in order for you to be able to do that. I thrill at what the Lord has done for that. Ulaanbaatar.
Yes.
That is the capital.
Yes.
And I think I said it right.
Ulaanbaatar, yes.
Yeah. Well, I had a quick lesson before
yes.
it went on the air. But that is the capital, and that's where the operation is based
yes.
out of.
Yes.
Tell us about the town itself, because again, just geography makes a lot of difference a lot of times in how you reach people. Tell us about that.
Well, Ulaanbaatar is an unusual city. It was built, of course, this was part of the Soviet bloc, and of course, Russia dominated them for 72 or 3 years that they were in power. They built this city. It was built for 250,000 people. It now has 1.5 million and growing every day. And so it's just a very, very crowded city. You're right on top of people, which is really, when you look at it from standing back and look at it, it's very strange because Mongolia is the 17th largest country in the world, landmass, but it's the most sparsely populated country in the world. So when you leave the capital, there's nothing. I mean, I don't care what direction you're going, there's nothing. But yet you got all this 1.5 million people in one place right on top of each other. And, you know, from a humanistic, from my point of view, I'm right. Like, just spread out and get away from me. Come on, I need my space. You're in my bubble. Yeah. But from a gospel standpoint, it puts them all right next door to you. And that's what you want. You know, I mean, you've got literally half of the population of the country in one place. And I'm right in the middle of it. And so that's awesome. I mean, I don't have to go 800 miles in any direction. I just go next door. I'm right there. And so getting the gospel out is much easier in that aspect, you know, at least to half the population. And then we're working on the other half, obviously. But it has been wonderful.
Amen. Amen. I can't imagine the crowded conditions there that you have to deal with. But at the same time, what a blessing that you don't have to spend a whole lot of money gas-wise to try to get, you know, other parts of the country. I know there's, again, other people out scattered across, but getting the Word of God out, that is such a blessing in and of itself, and certainly the Lord knew that. Jeff, you have things going on right now with regard to the print ministry. I do know that from the past, and some of the letters we've seen from you, that you had to move your printing equipment from one location into another, and that has been in and of itself sort of like building the ark. Tell us a little bit about how that's gone and what the current situation is.
Well, when we originally went to Mongolia, we set up our print shop in another missionary's building. He had a building that he wasn't using, and he allowed us to use it. We were there 10 years. And then he asked us, he said, we'd like to do something else with that building. In other words, would you get out? And so we found another location a little closer in, owned by another missionary. We moved in there, and he allowed us to manage the complex and keep things going. And then he decided to sell that place, and it just got to the point where we could not afford that building any longer. And so we found a third building that we have purchased. We got it last April into the ministry name and everything. And it's actually our building. This is the first time we got our own building. But it had no heat. Very limited electric, no water, no sewer, things like that. And so we moved, we got into the building, we got the electric in it, we got heat in it, which is a blessing. And then we had to get out of the other building because it's for sale. So back in December, we put everything we have into a 40-foot container, all of our equipment, and began to move it to the other location. It's on location, but not in the building yet because we're still working on that building. Lord willing, in the next probably 10 or 11 hours here, they should start drilling a well on site. So the Lord's blessing, and it's going in the right direction. We're going back in May this year, and if everything goes as planned, and like I say, Lord willing, we're going to get everything set back up for the print shop, move it back in, and reset up, reestablish, and go on further.
You were telling me last night that you had to move some equipment in the course of that. The outside temperature, I'm trying to remember, it was in the minus 30s.
37 below,
37 below zero, and you having to be outside and moving some of this equipment. That in and of itself, brother, is warranted of a crown before the Lord.
Well, I don't know what it's warranted to, but I can tell you, it's a metal container. It's a steel container. At 37 below, don't put your hand on the container. It sticks. Okay, I found this out. And wear good gloves, and hopefully your workers won't take them from you.
The things you endure in order for ultimately for the word of God to get out to people, brother. I personally admire your call, number one, and the stamina that God has given to you over the past 17 years in order for folks to be able to hear the truth of the gospel. I don't know about you that are listening this morning, and I'm looking at, folks from all across our country and a number of countries around the world that are listening to this right now. I know that you have been thrilled to hear of what Brother Jeff Kruchko is doing there in the nation of Mongolia. And I want you to particularly put him in the ministry there in your prayers, that God would use it mightily to a people that for centuries never even heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has stirred up Brother Jeff Kruchko to do that.
Yeah, and he didn't just lay it on my heart. He put it on our whole family. When I was in Mongolia, and the Lord began to work me over, that this is where I want you to stay, not just come in and set up and go on, I want you to stay.
Amen.
And I said, well, Lord, I'm willing to do that, but you're going to have to talk to my wife, okay, because that's something I don't think I can do. And I got on the plane, and that was, I think at that time, it was about 22 hours of flying time to get home. And I prayed the whole time on the way home because I can't sleep on an airplane, so you got to do something. So praying seemed like the right thing to do.
Amen.
And when I landed, I never said one word. My wife said, when are we going? The Lord had already worked on her. So he didn't just call me, he called our whole family.
Bless the Lord.
And it was a blessing.
And he has given you a big family in order to help with that as well. And brother, that's a glorious thing when God touches your mate's heart as well, and gives them a heart for the ministry that he has touched you with. Brother, that is priceless.
It really is.
That is a real blessing. I want to take a moment just to pray for Brother Jeff this morning. And if you would take time as you're listening right now, and perhaps if you're listening to the podcast later on this, that you would take just a moment, and I want you to pray specifically for Brother Jeff Kruchko and the ministry there in Mongolia. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you this morning for the privilege to be able to talk to Brother Jeff here. And Lord, just to be able to share the ministry there in Mongolia, how there was a people that had never heard, Lord. They had never heard your name, and yet, Lord, you stirred this man's heart through circumstances to go there. And Lord, you touched his wife's heart. And Lord, just the blessing of that in and of itself is truly shows us your heart for people. And I'm thankful for that this morning. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came for every one of us. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I thank you for what you have done. Lord, the tracts that have been put out, the Bible now that's been printed for those people there. And I trust that, Lord, there'll be souls for the labor of that printing ministry. And Lord, for those men, those young men that are pastoring there now, and for the works that are going on, Lord, thank you so much for what you have done. We give you the glory and we give the honor. And I certainly pray for the needs that are there specifically, that Lord, that you would meet them according to your perfect will. Thank you again, Lord, for your love for us, and Lord, for this opportunity that you've given us to speak. In Jesus Christ's name, I give you thanks. Amen. 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 Brother Jeff, before we close, if folks want to get in contact with you, how would they do that?
Well, probably the best way is through the email, and it's simply J. Kruchko, which is my first initial and last name, J-K-R-U-C-H-K-O-W @yahoo.com. That's probably the simplest way.
Okay. So J. Kruchko.
Yep.
@yahoo.com.
Yes, sir.
That is the email address. Folks, I trust that the Lord maybe will touch your heart concerning this. There are needs there for sure. And there's always something. So I'm praying that the Lord would touch your heart concerning that. Well, I want to thank you for joining us this morning for Wheat Among the Tares. It's been our pleasure to have you. May the Lord bless you and have a wonderful day in the Lord.